The EU is shaped by various power centers. The Trilogue coordinates these centers in the legislative process. In this episode, we'll explore this unique feature of the EU. German vote, consumer issues across the EU. In my podcast, I have a glossary segment that describes EU institutions and procedures, bending bananas and co. In this segment, I like to critically explain certain things. The so-called Trilogue is an institutional practice with a lot of weight behind it. It originated from a joint declaration back in 2007. The German Federal Agency for Civic Education defines the Trilogue as follows.
The compromise negotiated in the trialogue is provisional and must then be formally adopted by the Council and EP, which usually happens without substantial changes. Trilogues can be organized at any stage of the legislative process. They usually lead to an agreement at first reading, early agreement, or an early agreement at second reading, early second reading agreement. In other words, the European Council as the representative of the countries, the EU Parliament as the elected parliament, and the EU Commission as a kind of EU government discuss in advance how laws are to be drafted. The aim is to speed up legislative procedures. The trialogue is classic backroom politics. Where transparency and openness may not play such a major role, it is also viewed very critically.
In other words, the European Council, representing the member states, the EU Parliament as an elected body, and the EU Commission, functioning like the EU's executive, discuss how laws should be shaped in advance. The goal is to speed up the legislative process. However, the Trilogue is often criticized as classic backroom politics, where transparency and openness may take a backseat. Thilo Kunzemann, press spokesman for the EU Parliament, says,
"Ich habe mir mal so Statistiken angeschaut, bevor es den Trilog gab.
I looked at the statistics before the trialogue. The average legislative process from the Commission's proposal to the finished law took 38 or 40 months, i.e., 3 or 4 years. Over the last 10 or 15 years, the challenges and crises have come one after the other, and it was clear to everyone involved that we had to become faster. We cannot keep pace with the radical upheavals that we are seeing on the left and right and also in Europe if we need 3 or 4 years from a proposal to the finalized law, which then still has to be applied. There are still transitional periods. And since this trialogue, this so-called informal interinstitutional agreement or negotiation has been in place, since then, it has been radically accelerated, so it has taken just under a year. This may sometimes take longer. With some decisions on the corona crisis or financial crisis, and now also on Ukraine, it can happen even faster, even in 6 months. But on average, it is 25% of what was needed before, and you pay a certain price for that. Democracy is always an attempt to bring as many partners as possible to the table. Everyone can listen to this. The various organizations, associations, and clubs can put forward their points. Then there are various so-called readings in Parliament. The two legislators, the Council, which represents the states, the governments of the EU, and the Parliament, which represents the citizens, have to pass a law together, and the textbook has three readings for this. At the end of the second round, if it is not successful, there is the conciliation committee, and then you come to a result which takes years. And that is why it was said that we need an informal negotiation where we bring together the people who are working on it centrally, i.e., the lead MEPs, with the key people from the Council and the Council presidency, and the handful of experts from the Commission who are responsible for the errors. We bring them together together, lock them in the room, and then they just have to agree. They have to come out with an agreement in the end, with a compromise that is acceptable to everyone. And that is much quicker. You can't do that in one session. Then there are two or three sessions if things get really hairy and sometimes more. At some point, they simply keep the meeting going all night to increase the pressure to negotiate in order to reach a result. And you can only achieve this intensive working atmosphere if people can really talk freely and openly. If nobody has to worry that a certain demand or concession will immediately lead to media coverage, which then leads to angry calls from the government at home, from the parliamentary group. They need this protected space. But they don't work in a vacuum. The people who meet there for these negotiations, which of course take place behind closed doors, have a democratically legitimized mandate. And that is very important. You should never forget that when criticizing the trilogue. The Commission is working on a legislative proposal in a long process involving public consultations. He comes to Parliament. In the responsible committee, let's say, the financial issue is discussed, then it comes to the economic committee, then it is discussed in public hearings. MEPs publish their amendments. The process is completely open to everyone. You can take part, you can listen to it, you can listen to the recordings of these negotiations, and at the end of these negotiations, the committee adopts its mandate in a public vote, and this mandate is then examined again by the entire plenary, and then you have a negotiating mandate with which these, say, 15 negotiators from Parliament go into this closed room. This means that they are not acting as they see fit, but have a clear mandate from Parliament. And the council representatives have the same mandate. In tough negotiations, their governments have also given them a text with the points that they can concede and that they should demand. And that's why I don't think this criticism that this is non-transparent and undemocratic is justified, because although they take a break from the public for a while for these intensive talks, they do so on the basis of a democratic mandate, and we have much quicker decisions afterwards, which then always have to be accepted again. Even if the negotiators were to go their own way and decide on something that is not covered by the democratically elected plenary sessions, it would fall through because it would have to be recognized again. There is still a final vote in the council and in Parliament, and all these mechanisms mean that there is no complete uncontrolled growth.
Finale Abstimmung im Rat und im Parlament, und diese ganzen Mechanismen führen dazu, dass es da keine völligen Wildwüchse gibt.
Marion Walzmann, Member of the European Parliament for the European People's Party, EPP.
Also wenn Ursula von der Leyen jetzt ihr Kollegium bestätigt bekommen hat und wir dann im November vielleicht das gewählt haben oder bestätigt haben, dann ist damit ja ein Programm verbunden.
If Ursula von der Leyen has now had her college confirmed and we have then perhaps elected or confirmed it in November, then there is a program associated with it, and in accordance with the program, legislative initiatives will be submitted to Parliament by the Commission in coordination with the member states. Parliament appoints rapporteurs from the various committees and political groups, and they then have the authority to negotiate until a parliamentary position on this commission draft has just been voted on in Parliament. And I myself have been the rapporteur 3 times. 2 reports are still ongoing. And the parliamentary positions on these 2 ongoing dossiers have been agreed in Parliament. And now it's time for the so-called trialogue. This is because no law comes into force unless the Commission, which introduced the original draft, leads Parliament with the rapporteur, who has adopted an amended version in Parliament, and the nation states, which of course have to give their go-ahead, i.e., have reached an agreement in the trialogue, hence the 3-page trialogue. And these are exciting negotiations. You need good seating, strong nerves, and a good atmosphere. Because I am going as rapporteur and perhaps now wish to go into the trilogue of my toy safety regulation in the autumn. Then I have the shadow rapporteurs from the relevant committees with me, with whom I also have to reach an agreement if I admit to compromises that go beyond the decision in Parliament. So it's a balancing act, a compromise, a skillful tactical negotiating maneuver.
Also es ist ein Austarieren, ein Kompromisse bilden, ein geschicktes taktisches Verhandlungsmanöver Und auf alle Fälle ist es immer gut, wenn eine gute Stimmung in diesen Räumen herrscht.
And in any case, it's always good when there's a good atmosphere in these rooms and you can hold out for a long time. Incidentally, it is associated with many symbols. These trialogues end with a handshake between the three people in charge and then a group photo. These words, which are then spoken in the same way everywhere, are important. It's a bit of a ceremony when you reach an agreement like this. And that is something very special. And that is also the special power that an individual member of parliament can unfold in the Bundestag or Landtag. These are the groups that have the power, not the individual. And this is where the individual member of parliament has to focus on his or her negotiating skills, creativity, formulations, building bridges that can be compromised, but never losing sight of what the actual goal of the legislation is. The exciting thing is that this report then bears the name of the rapporteur. So if my children ever research what their mother did and Google Waldsmann, they'll find the Waldsmann report. And that is also a motivation to get stuck in. But this legislation associated with the name is also a great responsibility. You simply can't hide behind a faction.
Aber diese mit dem Namen verbundene Gesetzgebung ist auch eine hohe Verantwortung. Man kann sich eben nicht hinter einer Fraktion verstecken.
This was another episode from my podcast series Bending Bananas and Co. This segment takes a closer look at EU institutions and procedures. And today the focus was on the trialogue between the EU Parliament, Commission and European Council. Here's a transparency notice for this episode. This episode includes information and statements from the European Parliament. The statements were recorded during a trip I made to Strasbourg, where I received travel support from the EU Parliament and made use of their facility for journalists, such as the recording studios in Strasbourg. Of course, none of these institutions had any influence over the content or direction of this podcast. By the way, this podcast is available in English and German, and I release new episodes monthly. Do you like it? Do you have any suggestions or feedback? Feel free to contact me on Instagram or LinkedIn. I'd love to hear from you. We hear each other's. Yours, Jörg.